Hey, it's Lindley, and you're listening to Married to the Game, a series that explores the lives of professional basketball players through the people who matter the most to them, their partners. Being married to a pro athlete isn't always as glamorous as it looks from the sideline. I'll speak with women from around the world about their experience in the sporting industry. In this episode, I have Marissa Robinson. She's the creator of Full Court Wife, an Instagram page that connects women in the basketball wife industry worldwide. And she's lived across four countries, including Russia, France, Italy, and Germany, with her partner, Justin Robinson, aka Scoop. Welcome, Marissa. Okay, cool. So let me ask you, so how are things right now and where are you guys? I know it's the off season.
Yeah. So we are currently, we're home. So home for us is in New Jersey. So we got back a few days ago. So it's just kind of getting back and adjusting into everything that we do normally in the off season. For me, the adjustment is a little bit easier because I do travel back and forth throughout the season. So me jumping back into a routine. Yeah. So me jumping back into a routine isn't the weirdest thing for me.
Yeah.
But he normally takes about like a week off just to kind of decompress and not touch a basketball. That's really big for him. He's like, I just kind of need to have that separation for like a week. And then once he jumps back into it, I can't stop him. It's like three workouts a day. And I'm like,
yeah,
I'll see you
tonight. I know. And I tell my partner Raz, I'm always like, you should take like 2 weeks off. And he's like, I'll lose it all. I'm like, you're not going to lose it all.
Thank you. Like literally, I'm like, you're not going to forget, but I guess like, it's the same thing for you. Like it's easier for us to say that, but if the roles were reversed, we'd probably be like, no, we need to keep doing this. So I get it. But at the same time, I'm like, your poor body. Cause for 10 months, I just heard you, you know, I'm so tired. I can't wait for the off season. Yeah. And then it's like, we don't have an off season.
But. Yeah. I feel that. So let's unpack your season a little bit. So is it bros?
Rosé. I pronounced it rosé because like the other wives did as well. And I thought I was like so cultured, but then like I would be at passport control and I'd be like, oh, he plays for Rosé. And they're like, bros. I'm like, yes. I'm like, sure, that one. So yeah, bros, rosé.
Cool.
Either one is acceptable. I'm going to allow either one.
Nice. Yeah, cool. So, and that was your fifth season.
Yes. So that was our fifth season. Yep. We were in Germany. So
how was it?
It was good. It was definitely an interesting season. We had a coaching change in, I want to say like end of October, beginning of November. And it was kind of unexpected. Everything just kind of shifted after one of the breaks. It was literally like a 4-day break and they came back and they had like a different coach. And honestly, it was kind of crazy because looking back on what it was in November to what we finished the season with, like we basically, except for maybe five players, we had like a brand new roster as well. So it was a lot, especially for the guys that were there from August until, you know, we finished. But I do have to say, like, I think in moments like that, it really shows you like how determined and how passionate they are about this game and about their careers. Cause some people would just be like, this is too much for me and get out, but you know, they stuck it through. But we finished in the eighth spot. So we snuck right into playoffs that way and went through the first round of playoffs. We got beat by Berlin, but we made it to playoffs and people weren't expecting us to even make the playoffs. So, you know, it was a good way to, you know, kind of cap the season off. So
congrats. I was following like along on Instagram and the crowd looks really into it and super fun.
They were incredible. The fans were, I mean, the fan love was just insane. I mean, even we would just be, you know, out at breakfast or just walking around and just the fans are so passionate there. And honestly, after coming from a COVID year, the previous year in Italy, like where we had no fans in the arena, you know, and you could just kind of feel the fan presence through, you know, social media and stuff like that. Having that was just, there aren't like words to describe it. They were absolutely incredible. They were so good.
so beautiful. I'm still stuck on this though. So the locals in the import, like who were they changing on the roster? Like, that's very odd. I feel like that almost never happens. Like sometimes I feel like imports get fired with like before December, which my partner's always, he plays on a local passport. Mm-hmm. And Justin, I imagine, is like an import.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's like high pressure situations sometimes, right? Because you like come out, and you like have to perform to keep your spot. And sometimes it's not in the contract, or you get paid out if you leave or whatever. There's always little details.
Right. And it was just, honestly, it was crazy. So I think there were, I want to say, two or three Germans that remained on the team. Yep. And then just because, you know, they were there, that was like their second or third year in a contract. So they were like, well, we're not, you know, going anywhere. But the rest of the people that left were imports. So the remaining imports, I believe there was only like two or three of them left, I want to say. So there was about like, and starter wise, we lost about like three starters. So basically in like the second month of the season, we were rebuilding a whole new team, and you know, that's tough. And it was right after a break, so literally they had a game 4 days later, so they had to figure it out like with new players, a new coach, and everyone was just kind of, I mean, after that transition, I think we lost like four or five games in a row.
But then
we finally got like our footing, and things ended up turning around. But it's hard, you know, because it was almost like trying to it was rebuilding a team in the middle of the season, which was just mind blowing to us. But I mean, these things happen, and we were just grateful that he still had a spot on the team. We still had a place to play. So, you know, we were like, we got to take the pros and the cons and just, you know, make the most of it. So
amazing. And then, where in Germany were you?
So we were in Bamberg. So we were kind of right in the middle. So we were about 2.5 hours from Munich and 2.5 hours from Frankfurt. Mm-hmm. We were about 45 minutes from Nuremberg, which was really nice. So we were able to, you know, take little day trips there and stuff and go shopping and see some historical sites. So we were kind of in a really good spot because we had access to a lot of major cities and stuff that were only about like 2 hours away.
Nice. I love Europe for that.
Yes. And it's so much easier to get around. Like once you're in Europe, it's so much easier to navigate.
So good. And what did you make of Germany? Like, did you like the food? Did you like the people? Did you like?
Yeah, we didn't really know what to expect going into Germany. Yeah. And obviously we've never been there before. But we've heard only positive things from everyone that's been there that we've known that has played there, even just people that have visited. And we absolutely fell in love with Germany. The people were so nice. Pretty much everyone spoke some form of English. So even when we were like stuck or in this little thing, they knew just a little bit and we knew just enough to kind of help each other out to kind of get by.
Yeah.
But everyone was super nice. The food was so good. And honestly, we made so many incredible friends throughout the season and with his teammates and me with the wives, like it was really just overall like a really great season.
Cool. Do you speak any German?
No, I can tell you, do you speak English? And that's pretty much it.
Good hand signaling.
Yeah, I'm very good at pointing and like doing different things. And they always know what I'm talking about. And I'm like, thank goodness. Because, you know, like you try to be, I hate to admit that I've become like a mute when I go overseas at first, like in the first like month or so, like I try to like test the waters. And I'm like, okay, if I do this, like, will they understand this? And I try to like test things out. So instead of like, I don't know how to say, you know, excuse me or something. So I'm just like, like I probably look ridiculous, but then like, I finally figured out, or I hear other people saying it. I'm like, okay, that's how I do it. But I feel like that's me every year, like my little transition period of like 2 to 3 weeks is me being a mute. And then I navigate.
Good body language, right? Body language.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all about body language. It's the confidence. It's just, you know, that's it. So.
Cool. Well, interesting. So, I mean, you guys have played in a lot of countries. I'm sure where you've had, I mean, it looks like you would have a language barrier in all these countries. So where have you guys played?
So, rookie year, we played in Russia. Then we did 2 years in France, and then we played in Italy, and then this year we were in Germany. So Russia, there was definitely a language barrier. Nothing really came out of my mouth. And then France, we picked up a little bit. We were there for 2 years and we were in the same city. So cool. We were fortunate enough to have those same connections when we went back this for the second year. So we knew, you know, the same places to go, everything like that, which was really nice. And it was comforting as well, going back and knowing, you know, I know where we're going. I know where the grocery stores are, you know, just like little things that you don't really think about until you're there.
Yeah.
Italy was probably the easiest language that I had. I mean, I'm Italian, so I know enough to get by. So that was definitely my best year speaking wise.
Yeah, cool. But maybe weather-wise as well, I want to say.
Oh, weather-wise, it was beautiful. I mean, you know, I grew up in Jersey. I grew up on the beach. So for me, you know, it's not uncommon for me to see people like in their bathing suits, you know, in September, the end of September when it's still beautiful out. But I mean, we're talking, it was November and people were still in their bathing suits. And I was like, this is the life I want to live. Like, give me some gelato, put me on the beach in the middle of November in my bathing suit and don't bother me. Like, I was like, this is where I need to retire. I was like, this is it. It's like,
this is great. I love that. Oh my God, that sounds amazing. So, and of all the places that you live, was Italy your favorite?
Italy is on my favorite list. Yeah. If you ask Justin, I think he'll definitely give you a toss up between Italy and now Germany, because we did have such a positive experience as far as, you know, living and friendships and everything. So if I had to rank, I'd probably go like Italy, Germany, and then France. But also, like, I have such a sweet spot for France because I absolutely loved Paris. Yeah. So for me, I'm like, you can also just leave me in Paris. Like, that's fine too. Like, I have like little soft spots for a lot of places, but definitely like living, if you were going to put me somewhere for multiple years at a time, I would stick me in Italy.
Definitely. Oh, I love that. And then, you know, I think in this industry, it's like matching like experience and like place with basketball. And it's like, sometimes the place, and like, this was one of the things our agents told us. He was like, do you want to chase money or do you want to chase like lifestyle? Like, you can make a lot of money somewhere where you might hate living, or, you know, you might like, and so, you know, I think for us, it's always been like a balancing act of like, we kind of want both. And sometimes that's hard to like, you know, get. So I think that's, Definitely. Yeah. Have you guys experienced that?
Yeah. We learned that quickly after our first year, in Russia. We were in, like this little city, it bordered the Ukraine. There really wasn't much going on. No one really spoke English at all besides the people in the organization. Yeah. It was the first time in my life I ever experienced wild like dogs and like wolves. And whoa. I was like, oh my goodness, nobody tell my mother. Like, I was like, she's gonna freak out. But that was when we realized, you know, it was a great contract and a salary for a rookie coming out. Yeah. And we were, you know, and of course when you're fresh out of college and you see numbers like that, you're like, I don't want to sign anywhere else. This is it. But then we really learned about the quality of life. Well, you know, after our first year. So, that's also too why we jumped right away to resign, to France for the second year, because we loved the city. We were in Chalon. So we were about like an hour, 45 minutes to an hour away from like Lyon and stuff. So we loved our location, you know, we loved the city, we loved the people. So after Russia and then going to France, we were like, okay, this is nice. You know, now we need to like, we need to find that balance between money and life. And like, you shouldn't have to sacrifice both of them in order to, you know, survive in a sense.
Yeah. And France is like so romantic, I feel, for like a young couple as well. Like, it's such like a good place to be. But I have to back up. So you guys were in a city that bordered Ukraine, in Russia. Have you like followed, it's just like in my mind, like, have you followed that team at all since the war has broken out and everything?
We actually have, because Justin, one of his teammates from, I don't remember which season, like, or somebody he knew through the basketball world, they actually signed to the team right after the war broke out, because they were losing so many players that were coming back to the States.
Yeah.
And
I remember that it was a giant exodus of players. Like, we saw some people. Exactly. Well, yeah.
Right. Yeah. And we were like, wow. So it really stuck out to us, because we're like, wow, okay, you kind of did the opposite where everybody was getting out. And then, you know, you were like, oh, I'll just take the job, you know, which I understand, everyone has bills, you got things to do, yeah. you know, it's hard, you know, especially in a situation like that. But we've honestly been following the VTB just because we also knew people that were sent home and then that were told, you know, we're out of all European competition. It's just going to be in Russia. Like, we need you to come back. Wow. So we've also known people that went home and then had to come back and finish their seasons, which crazy. Is also just crazy to me. Yeah. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I haven't been following it quite exactly, but like the US like closed its airspace, I think, to Russian like yeah. airplanes. And we had some friends over there, actually a woman I'm going to interview later, and I'll get her story. But I was like, she was like, we, you know, had to get out. They were closing the borders like yeah. everywhere. And so that's like so crazy. I mean, this is,
yeah.
I mean, I don't want to say this comes with the territory, but.
Ooh. Right. They had to go through all these different, they had to take like 3 different flights to get back to Russia. And I was like, this is just, it's crazy. But I mean, yeah. you know, it's just, it's so sad what's going on, but then it's, you know, it's just like mind blowing that people are over there playing, like, you know, but I'm like, you know what, it's life. This is what we're.
Yeah. I mean, you can't judge people too. Yeah. I mean, like right. if a contract came your way, like that's interesting though. Did the Russian government pull, did they get kicked out of the European competition?
Or? So from what we heard and understood from Justin, he's obsessed with Twitter, just him being on Twitter and him just talking to different guys that like he knew that were over there. Basically, I think like FIBA and Euro Cup and all them were basically like, we're cutting out Russia. So Russia still wanted to play in all of the European competition, but basically like FIBA, Euro, all of them were like, absolutely not. Like, we're not, we're done with you. And then I think he read something the other day that said like, they're out until like 2023 or 24 or something like that. So they've already like, I don't want to use the word kicking them out, but kicking them out until, you know, like for 2 years, a year or two now. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh gosh. So unfortunate too, when athletes get like caught in the crosshairs.
Right.
Like I always, and I feel too for some of like the other Russian athletes and other sports when like, they're not allowed to wear their flag and stuff because they've been banned. Mm-hmm. I always like think about Russia and I'm like, oh, so it'd be so bad to be like, you know, an athlete from there. Like, I'm just trying to play my sport.
And exactly. Then like you didn't ask for this. Like you didn't ask for any of this to happen. You know, you're just trying to do your job and, you know, and this is what happens. And it's actually one of Justin's teammates that finished the season with him came from the Ukraine. So when they closed everything there, and they flew to Turkey, I think, when they were sent out. And then from there, they either went home or they signed to a different team. So even that was just crazy. I was like, I just can't imagine, you know, kind of getting that call. And it's like, okay, like you need to pack yourself up now. You got like 2 hours, the car is going to get you. And then you're on your way, you know, this job and this life isn't stressful enough. Let's
throw some war on top of it. Fabulous.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh my gosh, they're honestly just what they go through and what they handle. I would probably break so many times throughout the season, but they handle it.
Amazing.
They handle it.
Yeah, definitely. Shout out to all the athletes that are still, you know, out there and over there in the middle of a giant mess.
Yeah.
Love to Ukraine. So tough. Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's go back to the beginning. Okay. So I want to know about your love story with and so I like on Wikipedia, it says like scoop or it says like scoop. Or, what's the deal here?
So his name is actually Justin Devon Robinson. when he was a freshman in college, his college coach actually gave him that nickname because he would always like scoop the ball up under the basket. Like when they would do like full court warmups and they would do layup drills and stuff. And his coach would be like, why are we scooping it, Scoop? And he'd be like, I'll just call you Scoop. And it stuck. So that has been his name since 2013. He's joked with me that he wants to change it permanently. I said, I don't know about that. I think we should just keep it as our fun nickname. but yeah, so we actually went to the same college, but he knew my brother beforehand, actually just through the basketball world. And it's when I tell this story, but he was actually at my brother's graduation party in my parents' backyard and I had no idea who he was. And you know, I'm a friendly person, so I went up to him and I was like, hi, like, who, like, nice to meet you. Who are you? And he just like stared at me. And I was like, who invited this guy? Like, oh my God, he's such like an ass. I'm like, what? Oh my God. So then like fast forward, like 6 or so months later, we like ran into each other on campus and stuff. And I was like, oh, this is the kid that like literally gave me the death stare. And yeah, and the rest is history. So we've been dating since September of 2016.
Okay. Wait, but why did he give you the death stare? What's his story?
So according to him, he was, starstruck. I said, you're a liar. he said he was nervous. I was like, no, you weren't. I was like, I think you were just like in a mood. So according to him, he was nervous, but I don't buy it.
Oh my God.
I think he was just grumpy that night. I don't know about what, but I think he was just grumpy. So I'm like,
aww, whatever. That's so funny. And then you guys kind of made friends later and.
Yeah. So we became friends first. He also, I say that he stalked me on all social media platforms because he followed me first on every single thing on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. It all happened like one night. And I was like, oh my God, like, who is this person? Like, and he was like a pretty big name on campus, but like, I didn't really pay much mind. Cause I mean, I grew up around like athletes and stuff my whole entire life. So to me, like you're human, like, you know, I don't, you know how some people are, but
you didn't get starstruck.
Person. Right. And like, I was on the dance team and stuff. And I still was just like, oh, like, yeah, I think I know who that is. And then I followed him back on everything. And then, he responded to one of my Snapchat stories, December of 2015. And then we've literally been talking every day since then. And then we started dating officially in September of 2016. So gotta thank Snapchat. And that's pretty much where the conversation started. So yeah.
I love Snapchat. I still feel like, I think Snapchat is like kind of dying. Have you noticed?
It is. And it breaks my heart because I have so much fun.
I know. I'm like, it's so sad. I'm like the filter, like Snapchat still did it like best, but like no one's on there anymore. I mean, some people are, but
we're still on there. Our snap streak is like 500 and something days. Like we're determined.
Oh my
God.
Determined
to keep app alive.
That's amazing. I feel like all my old friends are on there and it's like stuck in an era and I don't add anybody new. Is yours like that?
Right. I don't add anybody new. Like it's just the people that I've had since like college and then whether they've deleted it or changed their names, I don't know, but I still see like the same like 8 people on my stories and I'm like, that's all I need. That's it. Just you guys. We're here for the journey. This is it.
Yeah. Oh, hilarious. Mine is exactly the same. Okay. So you and Justin, so tell me a bit about Justin. Did he know that he was going to go overseas? And like, when you started dating, was that like in the stars? Like you knew this was going to happen and you wanted to do this?
I knew there was going to be basketball after college. I just didn't know in what form, what capacity, where we were going to be. I didn't really know much. But I knew, basically, I like to say to people, like, I know what I signed up for, because I knew going into this that basketball was his whole life. It's all he's ever known. It's all he's ever loved and done. And I knew that, you know, when we graduated, that wasn't going to be it for him. So I knew there was going to be a journey. I didn't, you know, exactly know it was going to be overseas. I wasn't sure really what was going to be happening. When we graduated, he entered the draft. He went undrafted. But then he played for the Miami Heat in the summer league. They offered him a two-way, but he chose to not do that and to just go overseas. Cause after he talked to, you know, different people and just kind of got opinions on, you know, what they did. So he took the leap to go overseas and we never looked back. So I wasn't sure, you know, if we were going to be in Miami, if he signed the two-way or where we were going to be, but you know, we've been jumping all over Europe. So
yeah. This life is amazingly unpredictable and kind of unstable. And so that's kind of comes with it. So like in that vein, like, what do you like, give me the scoop. what do you hate about it? Like, I want to know what you hate about it and what you love about it. Maybe hate's a strong word, but like on your worst days, like what happens?
Yeah. Like, I mean, definitely something that still sticks with me that, I mean, I've been working towards getting over, but like when things, you know, significant happen in life, you know, they stick with you. I mean, my grandma was literally like my mother, like I had to go through her death without him, you know? So like things like that, where, you just want that one person by your side, and
yeah,
they can't be there, you know, which, and again, it's one of those things where you're like, no, I understand, like, you have a job to do. I know you are where you need to be. But then at the same time, for your own selfish reasons, even when you just have a bad day, like if I have bad days, like coming home from work or anything like that, like you just want to curl up in a ball with your person on the couch, you know, and talk about it, or just not talk about it and just sit in silence and watch Kevin Hart or something. I don't know. Like, and you can't have that. And I think, you know, it kind of gives you this dislike towards this life, because it's like, this isn't fair almost. You know, I have friends all over the place where, you know, maybe they work 9 to 5s or they're teachers or they're this or that, and everyone can come home to each other. And it's like, why can't I? But then at the same time, you jump back to, this is their dream. This is what they love. And I'm going to support them no matter what, even if that means being separated for months at a time, weeks at a time. So I think definitely that's where my dislike towards it comes in, especially when you go through, you know, real stuff that happens in life, you know, not just, you know, someone being mean at work or something, you know, actual real life events. And then, you know, they're all you want. And when they're not there, that's definitely difficult. And people, you know, will tell you like, it's going to be okay. And you're like, yeah, but I also know deep down, you know, my feelings and how I feel about it. But definitely one of the things I love the most about it is just being able to see the world, being able to meet people from all over the globe, people that you never thought in a million years you would ever come across, you would never run into. I mean, to be able to know how to say like hello or thank you in all these different languages. I mean, some people don't even know how to say it in Spanish, like, you know, so being able to have just that culture under your belt and just being able to see how they do things differently overseas. Like, it's really opened our eyes, you know, back home, different things with like healthcare and just everything is just so different. And so I think,
like, probably.
Yeah, exactly. So I think just, you know, the experiences, like the culture is the, you know, meeting new people and being able to stay in touch with people. I mean, I still talk to people from like our first year in France. So, I mean, it's such a special life and it's such a special community. And that's definitely one of the main things I absolutely love about it.
Yeah. I feel that. I feel like it's so tough. Like, I feel like with my partner, I'm like super bipolar. Like sometimes I'm like, oh my God, like this is amazing. Like we're on these like super cool beaches in Australia, just like living our best life. And then other days I'm like, I hate this. Like basketball is my least favorite thing on earth. Like it's the worst. Like, and I get particularly moody between seasons. Like right now I'm like, ugh, I hate this. Like,
yes, that's like towards the end of the season. Like we call it, like when we go grocery shopping, we call it like shopping for survival, because you're literally buying like that one pack of chicken or the one pack of this, because you're like, we could be leaving any day now. Like we don't know. And towards like the end of our season, we thought we were going to be leaving like 48 hours after the last game. We were there for another like 5 days. So we're like, we're going to have to do more than survival shopping right now. We were like, but things like that. And then when you know travel day is coming and you're just like, just get me out of here. Like, even though all season long, you were like, this was the best season ever. Like, but it comes with the life.
Yeah. And then like moving all the time. Okay. How many suitcases do you bring? I have to ask, what do you bring from the US? Like, do you bring anything specific from the US?
I am an overpacker. I will be the first person to admit it. I pack for things that are never going to happen. Like the things I pack, I'm like a hoarder almost. I'm like, well, I don't know. Maybe I'll need this specific gray sweater in 3 months.
Possible.
No, Marissa, you're not like, I need to just be real with myself. Like, and I've tried to get better over the years and I feel like I've almost gotten worse.
Oh my God. That's so funny.
Because like, I'm like, okay, like, you know, now that we're in our 5th year and then this year we're going to be going into our 6th year. I'm like, okay, like, you know your routine. You go, you wake up in the morning, like you go to the gym or you work out outside. So like, you definitely need to make sure you have all your workout clothes. And then think about it. You only play like once or twice a week with your game. So make sure you have enough like jeans and tops for game outfits. But then I'm like, okay, well, what about this potential scenario or this potential scenario? Like, and it's just so bad. So normally I started off with 2 suitcases. And Justin thought that was bad. he didn't know what was coming for him. Because then when we went to Italy, I had three, and then when we went to Germany, I had four. So like, oh, I overpacker, not improving.
Yeah.
I like to pretend I am, but I'm not.
And then you shop as well. I shop in my pastime. Like, and I'm like, I bring home stuff.
Yes. I am the worst. Amazon is my downfall. I decide that while I'm over there, I need to, like, I brought home a waffle maker this year. Why? I ordered a waffle maker for like a Christmas, like team brunch we were having. And I was, and it was like a Belgian waffle one, because like over there they have like the really thin waffles. So I was so excited. And, you know, we try to, anything European appliance, we try to hold on to and reuse like year after year. So like I have the same like European straightener, like blow dryer, like things like that. I felt it was necessary to keep the waffle maker. And that definitely added like 25 pounds to my suitcase. And Justin was not happy when we were checking our bags in at United. Like, this is over.
Like, what's the most you've ever paid?
I'm like, well, don't worry. The waffle maker will be with us next year. He's like, that's not the point. We're making a point. Just order another one. I'm like, no.
So funny. Do you remember how much you guys paid? Like, what's the most you've ever paid? Like, at you, like, what's like, do you ever just get like so annoyed? You're like, oh.
Yeah. That was this time coming home.
Yeah.
Between all of our bags. So we had, I had two bags like included for being like a United member. He only had one with his ticket.
Yeah.
So we had to pay for three or four extra bags. And I'm very ashamed to say that our baggage total was like $900. Justin goes, I could have bought another flight.
Yeah, that's like, so funny. I know Raz is always like, could you just replace everything in your suitcase? Like, I think you could just buy it again. And I'm like, no.
Yes. But then, but the one suitcase though, that's extremely heavy is the one with all of his sneakers in it. I'm like, are you willing to give up your sneakers? And he goes, well, no. I said, then don't ask me that about my clothes. I'm like,
oh my God.
Yeah. So that was the most we've ever spent. Yeah.
We're in the same
place. When I come underweight on suitcases, like he congratulates me. Like I get a high five.
Yeah. So good. So, you have to. I mean, you have to be comfortable in this lifestyle. Like that's where Raz and I used to fight about it. And like at this point, he's kind of like, we've gone so many like little fights about it. I'm like, he's like, look, if you're happy, like I'm happy. And he's like never said anything in the last couple of years. Cause it's like, we'll fight about little things too. Cause like in the beginning it was like, are we really gonna buy like, you know, bath mats and like extra cups and like little things for the apartment? They add up. And he would get annoyed and like he'd be like, oh, you know, we don't need to waste money on that. Like we're never gonna see them again. And then as time went on, we realized all those little things that like add up, make life better. The waffle maker, you know, it's like, it's quality of life.
Exactly. Like you want to have some normalcy. Like you want to have something of like comfort. And like, that's why when we buy like different things throughout the season, like, you know, even just like blankets, like we bought the best blanket last year in Italy and like left it there, but it was the best blanket I've ever had in my life. Like hug in a blanket.
Yeah.
And you know, of course we left it there because same thing, like same conversations we've had where we're like, we'll just buy another one. Like we'll just buy another one. But like, it's just, it is like, it's different. And like, you just want to be comfortable and you want to make sure that you have everything you need. And especially, you know, when you're jumping from country to country, you want to make sure you have those things that give you comfort and that you're used to having around, because once they're gone, you're not going to find them in the next country. You might find something similar, but it's not going to be that exact thing.
Yeah, you have to make yourself comfortable, right? I mean, like that's where we are.
Exactly.
So are you guys between contracts right now as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
We are. Yeah. So this is my favorite time of the year.
Yeah. Oh, with you, girl.
Sarcasm in my voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we are between contracts right now. So normally we sign between like the end of June, beginning of July. I always joke that we always sign when we're on vacation because we always go on vacation the end of June and it transfers over to the beginning of July.
Yeah.
We were doing the same thing this year. So I'm expecting we will have a contract while we were on vacation. Every year we've been on vacation. Even last year when we were on our honeymoon, just because of COVID, we had to take it a year later and we signed our contract to Germany. And I was like, this is my life.
So I'll take more vacation. That's what it sounds
right. Exactly. So we'll probably be signing our contracts when we're in Aruba in a couple of weeks. So yeah.
Ooh, that's Aruba.
What we do. Yeah. So
Aruba sounds fun.
Yeah, I'm excited. We've never been. So we try to take one vacation a year. And I know people are like, oh, but you vacation for 10 months. I'm like, please join me over here and see that it's not a vacation.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And then you will see that I deserve the 7 days in the sun.
Yeah, I feel that. Oh no. I mean, sometimes I feel like that. Yeah. It feels like full-time vacation sometimes because you're like in a new place. At the same time though, it's like a job that never shuts off. Like you spend so many hours like researching healthcare and how to drive and like what temperature to cook stuff. Like
literally, I'm like literally Googling the brands of like the dishwasher and the stove and like the washing machine. And I'm like looking up the little pamphlets online of the little symbols and they're like, do this for delicate. I'm like, okay, like great. Like, you know, but and that's the thing too. Like, you know, we say we're like on a hamster wheel essentially. You know, you get up and especially once you really get into the thick of the season, you know, you get up, you eat breakfast, he goes to practice, you do your thing, he comes home, takes a nap, eat lunch, goes back, comes back, does dinner, we do it all again, you know? Yeah. So in a sense, like it, you know, yeah, like it's exciting sometimes, especially when they have a day off and you can do things, but then after that, like you're back into your routine, you know?
Yeah, totally. Okay. So I want to know about the full court wife. Like that's how I connected with you. And I thought that was like such an amazing thing. And I'll just preface it with saying like, there's so many of us that are like on our own little islands in different parts of the world, like so like siloed, I really feel like. And I also feel like there's like military wives that like have support groups and stuff. And like our group is kind of like this random group that's just like all alone in the world, like not like NBA wives, but like, you know, other wives abroad, like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's honestly why I started it.
Yeah.
It was something that I was brainstorming for quite some time. And then, you know, COVID was definitely a trying time, but I also try to find positives in everything. Yeah. And it was definitely a positive for me and this page in a sense, because I actually got to like sit down and talk to Justin about it. And I was like, this is what, you know, I want to do, like, this is my thought process. Like, do you think this is a good idea? Like, do you think like, you know, people will respond well to it? Do you think, you know, just what are your thoughts? And he was like, yeah, I mean, I think it's a good idea. He was like, there's plenty of you out there that are just looking for something. He goes, just like how you're looking for someone to connect with, you're looking for someone to talk to. So yeah, so that was basically why I started it. And I just felt that it was important because like you said, like everybody else has like support groups and yeah. I was, you know, in a point where I was all alone. I was like, I don't know who to talk to. I don't know who to go to for advice. And all of my friends, you know, back home, they don't experience anything like this. So yeah, like it's nice to go to your friends and get advice, but at the end of the day, you want to talk to somebody that's in this situation or has been in the situation and be able to pick their brain and feel like you're not alone. Yeah. So that's basically where it came from. And it's grown and I'm just really grateful for it. I'm grateful for everyone that pays attention to it.
Yeah, I'm grateful that you started it. And like, I think, you know, what people don't understand is like us women, like we know a lot, you know, like we know a lot about what's going on the inside. And also we don't have anyone to talk to about it. And I found that speaking with women about like the tough things, like the contracts, because like when you move overseas, like you don't know what you don't know. Like I was really shocked. We moved over, like some weird things were in our contracts that like other industries don't have, like, you know, like a toaster oven or like, I think our agent was telling us back and like we started, he was like, be really creative. Like, what do you want in your contract? He's like, is it, you know, is it a diamond ring? Is it a pony? Is it, you know, is it a stair stepper in your apartment? Like, it's weird. Like basketball is weird. Like, it's like this weird industry where like you can kind of like barter whatever you want. And like, there's no one to talk to about it. Like you can't talk to anybody else about it because no one knows.
Yeah, no, literally, like, and that's even too, like things we never thought, you know, you'd have to mention that you want in your contract. Like in Russia, we only had a washing machine and not a dryer. And we didn't realize like things like that, you know, coming from America, these things are just normal. They're just natural to have. But you know, that was something, like you said, like we had to learn, you know,
never assume. Yeah.
Right. Like, we were like, okay, we need to make sure it has a washer and a dryer. We were like, even if the dryer is like subpar, we'll still take a dryer.
Like, in print, we need it printed on the paper.
Right. Exactly. And it's like crazy. And I mean, even different things like, you know, about a car and different stuff like that. And it's like things you would just think or assume, I should say, like, would be in an apartment or in a contract. Like, you have to literally go through with like a fine tooth comb and be like, no, okay, I need this, 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 and this. It's crazy. Yeah. It is.
Yeah. Have you guys ever been like burnt, like, and like had some learning lessons in the, from the contract side?
Yes and no. So I keep going back to our first year, but our first year was definitely a learning year. Experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So like different things where like the bathroom light was out from literally like day two when we moved in, and they told Justin, you know, there was any problems, you know, contact the team manager, blah, 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 whatever. And then it never got fixed. So for like the whole season, like we were showering with like the door open, and it was like, and I know you're probably like, just change the light, but it was one of those special ones that was like up all the way on the ceiling that had like the little thing around it. And we were like, that's all we need to break this even more. Right. So we were like, we're just going to leave it. Like, we were showering with like flashlights, but anyway, at the end of the season, they basically told Justin, like, they were going to take it out of his paycheck. And he was like, no, like, I told you from day two that this wasn't working.
Yeah.
So, you know, different stuff like that. I mean, it wasn't his contract, you know, damages and stuff would come out, but he was like, I didn't damage this. Like, this has been out. So that's also too, you know, learning year. I can't emphasize enough that now every time we move in somewhere, we go around and we take pictures of every single thing that's either, you know, scratched or broken or not working. And then we have like the timestamp on it. So we're like, we made you aware of this, you know, like, we made you aware of this. You didn't do anything about it. It was taken on September 5th. Yes. I don't know how to fuck the numbers. So this is literally when it was taken, you know? So that's definitely us.
Oh, and that's just a good tip. Everybody should do that. Definitely in another country as well. The same thing has happened to us. The exact same.
I mean, I probably sound psychotic, but like that, you have to be sometimes. Like, you really have to be. So
you have to ask all the questions. I know, like, when Raz is going through the contracting process too, I'm like a zillion questions. And his agent Duncan is like the best. Like, I'll like hit him up and I'll be like, did you consider this? And he's like, yes.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that's how, honestly, that's why I love Justin's agent. Cause like he, you know, I text him and he answers. Like, I'll text him like little jokes, like about stuff like throughout the season or like now in the off season. He's like, I know, Marissa, I know. Like, hey, sure you know. Like, but it's, I think that's also important too, to make sure that you have like a great relationship with your husbands, your partners, whoever it is, you know, agent, who's ever helping them. Because what they explained to me, because Justin had a previous agent who really like didn't give me the time of day, and just, I was like, okay, like whatever, like I guess like I'm not really important, like I get it. And then now his new agent that we've had now for 3 or 4 years, you know, basically like said to me like, no, like you are important. Like, this contract is also your contract. This is where you're going to be living. This is the money, you know, that's going to be keeping a roof over your guys' head. This is like, you are important. You are a part of this. You're also signing this deal. And I think that was also too, like a mindset change for me, because here I was thinking like, you're right. Like, I don't dribble the ball. Like, it doesn't matter what I think, say anything like that. Like, I get it. And then I completely shifted to these people that were like, you know, they wanted to meet with just me by myself. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, you just want to talk to me. Like, I'm not that interesting, but like, you know, and I was like, oh wow, this is like how it should, you know, feel. Like, this, you're a part of this, you know, you're a team. So
yeah, well, if you're unhappy too, like your partner may not perform, like, or you know, he may leave, or like, it's just like, they, it actually is like it's a two-person team, like, essentially. And so I love the clubs and the agents and everybody that really embrace that. And I think that definitely is a big piece of
it. Super important.
Okay. So we're getting into it. I love this. So I guess we're almost coming up on the hour, but I have like two other questions for you.
Okay.
I was gonna ask, so how long do you guys expect to be in the industry? And yeah. And like, what is your like long-term plan, or, you know, non-plan?
Yeah. So honestly, that's the million-dollar question, is how long we're going to be doing this for.
Yeah.
Truthfully, we don't know.
Yeah.
You know, Justin is one of those people who's extremely, extremely determined. And when, you know, he loves something, he goes at it full force and doesn't, you know, he doesn't stop. So I've always, you know, joked that the ball will stop bouncing when literally his limbs fall off of him. And I've been saying that since like 2016. Yeah. And I don't think my stance on that will change just because seeing him and seeing his work ethic, like it's honestly just insane. And I'm sure you're the same way with your husband. Like you just see them day after day, no matter how tired they are, no matter what, like their love for the game is stronger than anything. So, you know, he always says, as long as they're going to pay me, I'm going to play. So it's kind of an open-ended kind of.
Yeah, kind of totally. Question. I know we get that question a lot too. And I'm like, I don't know what I
like. Yeah. I'm good here. I just get told when my flight is and that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
as far as like plans, like after, you know, his career is said and done, I know he still wants to be in the basketball industry. I think he would really like to go into like coaching and not be a coach per se, but in like player development. I think that's something he like has always had an interest in and would really like to do.
USA? Like, do you think back in America? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Back in America. So I mean, I think his absolute dream would be to join his college coach on, you know, the Monmouth coaching staff.
Monmouth.
Yeah, it's in West Long Branch in New Jersey.
Cool.
So I think that would ideally be his dream, or just kind of go wherever his college head coach is at that time, whenever he decides to hang him up. So that's kind of where we're at. Like we have like a very loose plan in place. It's just a matter of when everything starts to fall into place, whenever he decides he's done. So, I mean, people have always said to me, like, you know, don't you tell him, like, don't you give him like a time limit? I'm like, no, because like, he doesn't give me a time limit on things. He doesn't tell me, like, you know, you're going to stop working in 2024. Yeah. Like, you know, so I'm like, why would I, you know, this is his dream. Like, I'm just here to support. I'm here to do whatever he needs me to do. Like, it's not my place to be like, you know, I think in a year we're, you know, we should wrap it up, you know, like, if it's what you love and it's your dream, just keep doing it, you know? So.
And it looks like you guys are having like a lot of fun.
Yeah. And we do. We have a lot of fun overseas too. You know, we make the most of it wherever we are. And, you know, we try to do our best. So we try to figure it out as best as we can. So, yeah.
I love it. Okay. And my final question, which I'm asking everybody, is what is the one thing you would tell someone about to embark on this lifestyle? Probably, you know, a young woman, or even like a young couple, you know, coming out of college in the US, like about to be shipped off. They've got no idea what's coming for them. What would you say?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that Justin and I always say to each other is if anyone can, it's us. So one of my main things that I would say to anyone coming into this life, just getting started in this life, if anyone can, it's you. You know, you're so much stronger than you know, you're so much stronger than you think. Mm-hmm. And if you have any doubts about your strength or anything, this lifestyle will teach you that you can literally handle anything that comes your way. I mean, things you never thought in a million years would happen to you, to your partner. Like, things are gonna happen, and you know, you're gonna learn your strength. You're gonna learn how to block out a lot of noise. You're gonna learn how to be so independent and take care of you and the person you love. So just keep pushing forward and just stay strong, and you're so much stronger than you know, definitely.
Oh, I love that. I feel like this is like a therapy session for me. It's so true though. It's so true. Oh, I love that. Well, I just want to thank you for taking the time to chat with me today. It's been such a joy.
Thank you for having me. This was so much fun.
I really enjoyed talking to Marissa. She is so much fun, and it's women like this that inspire me to do projects like these. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe, share the episode with a friend, or leave me a review. If you've got guest requests or questions, message me on Instagram at Miss Lindley. You can also connect to my guests who I've tagged on Instagram. In episode 1, 2, and 3, we visited top leagues across Japan, Australia, and Germany, and I'll take you once around the globe before the season ends. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned. You know, man.